In today's scripture, Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 43, on pages 1244 and 1245 in our pew Bibles, we hear of more reasons to believe. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed and his clothes became shining white. Suddenly Moses and Elijah were there speaking with him. They appeared in heavenly glory and talked about all that Jesus' death in Jerusalem would mean. Peter and the other two disciples had been sound asleep. All at once, they woke up and saw how glorious Jesus was. They also saw the two men who were with him. Moses and Elijah were about to leave when Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Peter did not know what he was talking about. While Peter was still speaking, a shadow from a cloud passed over them, and they were frightened as the cloud covered them. From the cloud a voice spoke, "This is my chosen son. Listen to what he says." After the voice had spoken, Peter, John, and James saw only Jesus. For some time they kept quiet and did not say anything about what they had seen. The next day, Jesus and his three disciples came down from the mountain and were met by a large crowd. Just then, someone in the crowd shouted, "Teacher, please do something for my son. He is my only child. A demon often attacks him and makes him scream. It shakes him until he foams at the mouth, and it won't leave him until it has completely worn the boy out. I begged your disciples to force out the demon, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You people are stubborn and don't have any faith. How much longer must I be with you? Why do I have to put up with you?" Then Jesus said to the man, "Bring your son to me." While the boy was being brought, the demon attacked him and made him shake all over. Jesus ordered the demon to stop. Then he healed the boy and gave him back to his father. Everyone was amazed at God's great power.
And let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts. And what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Transfiguration, a change in form or appearance, a metamorphosis, an exalting, glorifying, or spiritual change. Transfiguration. If you've ever heard the word transfiguration, I suspect you heard it in a church because I have no idea where else it ever gets used. But it's a great word for a powerful story in Jesus' life. A change in form or appearance, a metamorphosis, an exalting, glorifying, or spiritual change. Transfiguration. This weekend marks the celebration of what we in the church call Transfiguration Day. Though not every church chooses to honor this particular holy day, when Transfiguration Day comes around, it's always this time of the year. Because when it's celebrated, Transfiguration is celebrated the weekend ahead of when Lent begins. And since Lent begins this week on Ash Wednesday, that means this is the weekend of Transfiguration. The season of Lent is the 40-day season of the church year during which we walk with Jesus toward the cross of Good Friday and the empty tomb of Easter Sunday. Lent is very often a somber, reflective time when we focus on our sin and on our great dependence on God's mercy. Divine mercy that was shown most poignantly in Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. And divine mercy that was transformed into his glorious resurrection, offering us hope for eternal life and hope in all things on earth. Though our weekend worship services in Lent may not fully reflect the somber nature of the Lenten season, our Wednesday services will. So I certainly hope you will consider joining us throughout the season of Lent for those Wednesday services as a way of gathering together with sisters and brothers in Christ to confess our sins and to grow closer to God as we journey through the Holy Lenten season. But before the season of Lent begins, Transfiguration Day. A day marked by the peculiar story we just heard Nicole read from chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel. As the story goes, after spending much time teaching and healing, Jesus took a few of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to the top of a mountain in order to spend time in deep prayer. And the wind that is surrounding us today can't help but remind me of what it must have been like to be on the top of that mountain. At some point while they were up on this mountaintop, the disciples fell fast asleep. And in doing so, they very nearly missed an incredibly holy moment. See, while Jesus was praying, quote, his face changed and his clothes became shining white. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah were there speaking with him. They appeared in heavenly glory and talked about all that Jesus' death in Jerusalem would mean. End quote. That was the transfiguration, the moment when Jesus was thoroughly changed in form or appearance, the moment he experienced an exalting, glorifying, spiritual change. And the three disciples almost missed it because they'd been sleeping. When they woke up and saw what was happening near them, after surely taking a few beats to discern just what exactly was going on, Peter exclaimed, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." It was as if Peter was trying to keep them all there in that holy mountaintop moment. But while Peter was saying that, the shadow of a cloud passed over them and then fully surrounded them, which of course caused the disciples to become frightened. Then out of the cloud, God's voice proclaimed, "This is my chosen son. Listen to what he says." Incidentally, in Luke chapter 3, God spoke similar words about Jesus, also from the clouds, as Jesus came up out of the water after he was baptized. So in many ways, today's story, the story of Jesus' transfiguration on that mountaintop, is just as important as the story of his baptism in the River Jordan. After God spoke those words of affirmation about Jesus, words about how his disciples were to listen to him, as if on cue, Moses and Elijah disappeared, and Jesus was again alone on the mountaintop with his disciples. Now, Moses had himself been in God's very presence. He was the one who had received the commandments from God so long ago on the top of Mount Sinai. Moses was the ultimate symbol of God's holy law, and yet he disappeared in Jesus' presence. Elijah, too, one of the great prophets of Israel, the prophet who had been carried up into heaven in a whirlwind, he also disappeared in the presence of Jesus. Moses and Elijah, law and prophets, both of them powerful, powerful figures in the history of the people of Israel. Yet when God's voice was heard, the disciples were told not to listen to them, but rather to listen to Jesus, God's chosen, God's beloved son. The story of the Transfiguration is a strange one, and there are a lot of mysterious things happening in it. Jesus' face changed, his clothes started shining, Moses and Elijah showed up, a cloud blew in, God spoke out of that cloud, and then just as quickly as it all began, it was over. The moment of transfiguration had passed, and life returned to normal. They went down the mountain, and Jesus and his disciples got back to doing what they'd been doing before. But you've got to believe things were somehow different for each of them after that, right? I mean, how do you experience something like what they experienced on that mountaintop and not have everything seem somehow different? Perhaps something kind of like this has happened to you or to someone you know. You had a powerful spiritual experience, And then afterwards, everything seemed different somehow. Like the world shined a bit more brightly. Like there was hope in the midst of despair. Like you could finally see your way through the messiness and the chaos this life so often brings. Your perspective about life and about the world shifted in light of your experience. Maybe that perspective shift lasted a few days, a few months, and maybe that shift has stuck with you. In my own life, the powerful spiritual experiences that have brought on transfiguration-type shifts in my perspective have often happened during times apart with God and with brothers and sisters in Christ. Camp, mission trips, retreats. But such transfiguration-type shifts often come at other times and in the midst of other experiences as well. Things like healing, or even in the midst of a loved one's death. I've also seen these transfiguration-like shifts happen for people in the midst of the birth or the adoption of a child, in moving to a new place, in starting a new school, going through a divorce, losing a job, or many other multitude of opportunities and changes that can cause dramatic shifts in our lives. For Jesus, the transfiguration happened at a time when he knew he needed to turn his focus toward Jerusalem, toward his last days on earth, when he would be betrayed and denied by two of his closest friends, when he'd be on trial, and when he'd be hung to die on a cross. But he also knew that after all that, his focus would be on his glorious resurrection from the dead. Any life-changing, perspective-altering experience we have in this life will pale in comparison to all that Jesus went through. Yet we can find glimpses of his experience in our own, glimpses of the sacrifice and glimpses of the glory. When we find those glimpses, they are meant to transfigure our reality. They are meant to inspire a change in who we are and who we become. And regardless of whether or not we've yet had these transfiguration-type experiences, as Christian people, our reality should always, in a way, be a transfigured reality. Because our reality should always be cross-shaped. How we experience and understand everything in this life should be defined by both sacrifice and glory, by both death and resurrection. This week, as we move into the season of Lent, it's fair to acknowledge that life in this world can be filled with sin, with pain, and struggle. And even if we are doing all right in this moment, we don't have to look too far around the world or across town, or around our section of the worship space to find people who are not doing all right. Ugliness and pain and struggle and sin are everywhere. And they can look and feel like the things that define our reality. But for people of Christian faith, ugliness and pain and struggle and sin can never be the things that define our reality. Our reality is a transfigured one. Our reality is one that thoroughly changes everything. And that reality comes to us as a gift from our God. Our God who made all things and who transformed Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross into glorious resurrection. May we be ever grateful for this holy reality, and may our lives be ever transfigured by it. Thanks be to God. Amen.